The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Dear Media IRL is back, and we're showing up bigger, better, and louder than ever. Join us on May 4th in Austin, Texas for the ultimate live podcasting experience. Watch and learn from your favorite Dear Media hosts as they bring their insightful discussions from your headphones to the stage. Get ready to be inspired, entertained, and watch audio get a makeover. Tickets are on sale now at dearmedia.com/IRL. See you on May 4th in Austin, Texas.
Welcome to Balanced Black Girl Podcast. My name is Les. I'm your host, and I appreciate you tapping in. So if you are new to this show, every week I'm here talking about the various different things that we're balancing in our lives, whether that be our wellness, our relationships, career, family. And today's topic kind of touches on all of those things because we're talking about motherhood, we're talking about health, reproductive health, maternal health, which touches on all of those categories. And I am so excited to welcome my incredible guest today. So I'm joined by Latham Thomas, founder of Mama Glow and the Mama Glow Foundation, educator, author, and just all around phenomenal educator on all things maternal health. So welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
I am so happy to have you. You're like a dream guest for me. So this is so exciting.
Yay. Thank you.
And it's nice to see you again. We were at the same event last week and got to chat a little bit.
Which was amazing.
So I'm excited to share some more space.
Absolutely. Same here. Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity.
So the week that we're coming out with this episode is Black Maternal Health Week, very important week. And broader, we are now in the throes of spring, which I actually love the season of spring. It's not really feeling like spring in New York. Hopefully New York catches up.
Oh, Lord. Yes.
Still feeling like winter. But what I love about spring is just this sense of newness. It's like everything wakes back up. And I feel like that just births so much creativity and fresh energy. How is spring treating you this year?
Ooh, I'm still feeling the winter in certain ways. But what I will say is spring is my favorite season as well. I'm a Taurus. I'm born in May. I love the sunshine. I love everything about the awakening that we get to witness of budding, of the vibrance that comes back when we see leaves coming back to the trees. I love the warmth of the air. I love that the sun is out again. You know, when we have daylight savings and it's winter and the sun's down at like, you know, 4 o'clock. And when it's this time of year, it's like we're heading to longer days. And so I love that it's 6 and 7 o'clock and like I can go outside and watch the sunset and it's warmer. And so for me, this is like a really inspiring time because it sort of informs my internal rhythms and I really follow the seasons for my well-being. And so while it's still chilly, I'm still holding on to the fertile winter, which has been really good to me in that a lot of creative work happened in the winter time, a lot of personal growth that's internal, and a lot of things that will be sort of womanfest in the world, spring, summer, fall even, are, you know, percolating now that we're like sort of in process in the wintertime. So I'm still like, you know, in the last pieces of that season, you know, like closing out with open arms welcoming the springtime because I too can't wait to like not have to wear a coat and you know, that's like the biggest piece is just like the adjustment to the clothing. I have way more springtime and summertime clothing than I do winter. And it's like mostly cold in New York.
Yeah.
But why is my wardrobe for the spring? Because I literally am still a California girl at heart.
Absolutely. I love that you're a Taurus too.
Oh, yes.
I love Tauruses.
Yes. What's your sign?
I'm
your
a
sign?
Leo.
Are you? Mm-hmm. Oh, I can tell that. I can see the Leos always have the best hair, by the way. Oh. Did you know that? Like always, always great hair, always full. What is your rising and your moon?
So my moon is Taurus. So that's why I love Tauruses.
Amazing.
Yes. So okay. I'm always like connected to Tauruses. And then my rising is Libra.
Interesting. I'm Libra rising also.
Nice.
Yeah.
I think it's a pretty elite
It is.
Rising.
It is. I love Libra rising too. And then all of the men in my life also are like Sun Libras. Mm-hmm. So we get along well. Mm-hmm. But I'm Sag Moon.
Oh, yeah. Nice. You got a little fire in there. Yeah. That's actually nice and balance. You got some fire, you got some earth.
Yeah. It's like a good, I think sometimes they're in conflict, but it works.
It's like sometimes those sides come out when they need to come out.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
So I love what you said just now about living seasonally. Mm-hmm. I think that's a really interesting concept. Can you tell us a little bit more about what that is like for you and maybe how some of your habits change from season to season?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting because I live in a place, I mean, we're in New York, right? And here you do really feel the effect of the season. So the summers are really hot, which I love. The spring is kind of like this in between, like you get this very short period where the weather is just like perfect and then it's hot. And then with the fall too, it's like you're just sort of transitioning out of the summer and it's really nice and cool and beautiful and then freezing, right? And so you get these extremes, which I feel like are great sort of like breeding ground for practicing a lot of the sort of principles that I live by, which kind of like are about anchoring in sort of the sort of the ambient landscape, you know, like using that as like for awareness, right? And anchoring in sort of what's happening in the world around me to like sort of support like what's happening inside of me. And so I feel like the ambient landscape also like mirrors our internal landscape, right? And so with the spring, like for most of us, we start to feel, yeah, this edging, this budding, this uprising, this energy of new beginnings, like you mentioned. Fresh start. We all feel like it's almost like a new year for many of us too. We start over like in January, but then we also start over in spring. And it's a season also of becoming, you know, like things are coming full circle. Like, you know, graduations happen in the spring, right? Like it's like us coming through this other, like to another side, right? But then also thinking about astrology, there's all these kind of layers that we can like, you know, lean into. And so like, also like lunarly speaking, I'm really good at like, you know, following the chart of the moon and allowing that to sort of inform how I'm moving, right? When I'm expanding, when I'm contracting, when I'm like putting a lot of energy forth, when I'm deciding to fall back, like all these things I sort of, you know, look at within the map of what's happening externally, because those forces actually work on us, with us, but also we can like work against them. And that makes things more challenging. And so I found that like just being attuned makes things just easier. And for me, as I think about like practicality and like moving with ease, and really every year I think about like, you know, mantras that'll sort of like guide my life forward. And one of the things that we had organizationally at Mama Glow was like ease was one of them. And thinking about also moving in collective ease, but then thinking about not productivity, but efficiency, right? So how can we be more efficient? Like what are systems that we can like operate within and design that support efficiency so that we're not using a lot of time unnecessarily or overextending in certain ways? So thinking about even those principles, right? We're more efficient also if we sort of chart and follow what's happening around us and its impact on us. And then we're not surprised, right? When we're like, oh, why am I feeling moony today? You know, and why am I feeling teary? Or why do I have less patience? Or why do I have all this energy and I want to be outside? You know, like what's this outward expressive energy that I'm not used to? Why do I feel more introverted? Like just tuning into those things and actually using that as like fodder to navigate your life rather than like, oh, you know, when I feel exhausted, I'm going to push through, right? And what I've learned is like, you know, there's consequences for that. And also you pay for it, but also your body is like, I'm doing a lot, you know, like, so pour back in. And some of the ways we can do that is by the listening. So for me, it's just that listening is just a way for us to like move with more ease and really just to kind of like live. Yeah, like have life well lived, you know, when we're listening, I think, you know, our body appreciates that, works well with us. We're more attuned to what's happening. We can respond better and make better choices, I feel like. So, yeah, I think that's what it's for me, like how it shows up.
Definitely. It sounds like having harmony instead of just pushing through no matter what.
Yeah. You know? I'm like anti-chaos.
I love that.
You know?
Like, I'm learning to be that way.
Yeah. I'm like, I do not want to be stressed. I'm
right.
Like, I just want things to be easy.
Yeah.
Like, why not?
Right.
You know, at this stage in our life, please.
Right.
Right?
Absolutely. All right, my balance baddies, I know we are all trying to eat well, and nothing is more annoying than navigating crowded grocery stores, spending a fortune on healthy food, and feeling overwhelmed by all the options out there. Now, if you can relate to that, you have got to check out my go-to for grocery and household essentials, Thrive Market. Thrive Market is my go-to for pantry and household essentials because it's so convenient getting everything online and quickly shipped to my doorstep. I love that Thrive Market carries brands with the highest quality ingredients and sourcing methods. They restrict hundreds of ingredients across their food and cleaning categories, and I can use their on-site filters to suit my lifestyle needs. Sometimes I'll filter for low or no sugar or gluten-free pantry essentials, and it makes shopping for healthy items so much more efficient, convenient, and affordable. Now, not only do I save a lot of time shopping as a Thrive Market member, which I've been a paying Thrive Market member since 2016, so longtime Thrive Market fan over here, I also save so much money on every single grocery order. On my most recent order a few weeks ago, I got some staple items like bonza pasta, I got some avocado oil spray, I got some nuts, my favorite teas, my favorite sugar-free syrups, and I saved $43 off of what I would have paid for the exact same items at the grocery store. $43. That's wild. I also love browsing their deals page to see what items are on sale. Now, I also love that joining Thrive Market can help you give back. For every membership purchase, Thrive Market gifts a membership to a family in need, and I save so much money with Thrive Market that I quickly recoup my membership in savings, and it's so worth it. Save time and money. Shop Thrive Market today. Go to thrivemarket.com/balancedless for 30% off your first order, plus a free $60 gift. That is thrivemarket.com/balancedless. thrivemarket.com/balancedless. When I first started podcasting, running a business was the furthest thing from my mind. But now that I'm exploring new opportunities as an entrepreneur, I will most definitely be using Shopify to power my next venture. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch of your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're promoting protein powders or selling fitness gear, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person point-of-sale system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms. You can also sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Now, what I love about Shopify is they can help you grow from no matter what starting point you're at, even for beginning entrepreneurs. Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. So many amazing businesses use Shopify. You have most definitely done online shopping on a Shopify checkout. It powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US and is the global force behind brands like Rothy's, Brooklinen, and millions of other businesses of every size across 175 countries. And Shopify's extensive help resources are there to support your success every step of the way because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/balancedblackgirl, all one word, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/balancedblackgirl now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/balancedblackgirl. For those of us who have menstrual cycles, that adds another layer of we just feel different all the time, week
absolutely
to week. We are different people.
And I think trying to force ourselves to do the same things over and over, have, you know, high productivity all the time or high energy all the time, it goes against the nature of what's happening and that's the exactly nature right. of our bodies.
That's exactly right. And I think if you bleed, you also understand there's like unique periods within the cycle where sometimes you don't recognize yourself, right? Some of us were like, whoa, what is this? And it's like an opportunity to move with that force and that energy and be obedient, right? And so I find that, you know, there's like these natural mourning periods that we can lean into and like process and let go and release. And also there's like these truth-telling periods where we find ourselves even more capable of communicating in ways that are about like really prioritizing ourselves, right, within the cycle. And there's times where we're like outwardly expressive and more communal and even more nurturing, or times where we're like more sensual or, you know, tactile. And like, it's just amazing to kind of see like these moments of retreat and these moments of complete embrace of everything happening around you. And watching also what's happening within your body too, the changes that are happening. So there's like emotional, psychological, psycho-emotional, and those also impact culture and how we show up in the world. And so, yeah, like if you can, you know, attune, you know, say attune to that and see like how you are moving through the world that might be in conflict with what's happening in your body. So if you're exhausted on like day one through three of your period, maybe staying home, figuring out remote work, or like not going out at night, or, you know, giving yourselves like time to walk outside and be off of screens and maybe read a book or be in community with other people or just cook, you know, like things that are just not as cognitively stressful, I think, because it takes a lot of cognitive energy, a lot of mental exertion, right, to do a lot of things that we do. And during the cycle, it's a time where your body doesn't want to do all that mental exertion, right? Like your brain wants to like do other things. It wants to dream. It wants to do other things. It wants to process, right? And we're like, oh, I have a deadline, you know? And so thinking about like, you know, moving with that energy a little bit. And I find that people feel better when they start to lean into that, because it's also leaning into like, you know, the power of their hormones. And so, yeah, like that's available to us, right? Which I think is so beautiful.
Absolutely. And yeah. What I love about what you said, the theme is just tapping in with yourself and understanding, yeah. Okay, how am I feeling? Why am I feeling this way?
That's it.
What is my body telling me?
That's it. That's self-care. That's mm-hmm. literally it, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. Which is sometimes hard to do, because I think in a lot of ways we aren't necessarily taught to have good communication with our bodies.
Yeah, that's true.
You have to learn how to do it.
Yeah.
How have you learned?
Yeah, I think that like we have examples of things that just turn us away from our bodies, like everything turns us away. So culturally, like we're primed to just like move away. So if someone's telling you, if your body's saying, come here, come hither, come close, come listen, we're like, oh, God, no, what is that? Like, right? We don't learn to obey our bodies, but we certainly don't learn to listen to the signals. I think for me, I learned by like watching. I learned by being surrounded by and being in sort of this fertile sort of ground of wellness. Like there was just, it was like yoga everywhere, meditation. It was like literally everywhere. I could look to buildings and just see like, oh, there's an ashram and there's this and there's that. And I had no idea what it was at the time when I was little. I just could read, right? Yeah. And then I found myself in all those spaces. I found myself going to yoga. I found myself, you know, going to meditation. I found myself like going to different, interested in different mystical traditions, like going to the masjid or to temple or to wherever it was to like see how other people worshiped. And I was also interested in that. I was hiking. I was, you know, involved in herbalism and stuff. So I was always like outside, and being in California, like there, it was just part of how I was brought up. So it wasn't even like I had to have some sort of experience that took place where I was like, oh, wow. And that turned me on to the idea that wellness existed. It was more just like, it's part of like how we live, right?
Yes.
I definitely think also in my pregnancy, there was so much physical awareness. And so that I think informed my kind of compass around like well-being and how I navigated the world and my body. But I'm also one of those people too who's always like feeling and like doing like self-experimentation. I'm like, oh, what is this? That's interesting. Like learning stuff. I'm so interested in learning all the time. And so I think that that was also part of it, right? Like wanting to know like oh, this thing makes me feel tired after I eat it. That's good information. And so thinking about everything almost as an exercise of gathering information and seeing, you know, what works along the way, and then using that as a map for how I could, you know, make sure that I felt my best. I think that was part of it. And then also like knowing what didn't feel good too, right? And so part of this is like doing like empirical evidence, you know, like science, like doing these self experiments on yourself to see sort of what works. And but having the courage also to listen, because a lot of times we get information that doesn't feel aligned. Like, oh, wow, like I'm not a robot. I do have to stop and slow down. I can't just, you know, some people, they can be on a computer for 8 hours. Some people can only be on for like half an hour, you know? Yeah. And so like thinking about like, what does it mean to modulate my life in a way that accommodates my unique needs? Because I'm not this person, I'm not that person, right? But I also have things that I want to get done. And what does that look like? And so for me, I think also part of it is like, you know, designing a life that you don't have to escape is really important, right? And so I feel like so much of what is in the zeitgeist culturally is like, oh yeah, like vacation and this, and you know, like people are working and they're bubble bathing their problems away and doing self-care and winning and all these things and doing mental health work, and all that's amazing and it's important. And also like we're still finding another creative way to create escape, right? And so we're just selling people escape, but like packaged differently.
Right.
Whereas in this moment, right, like I have the opportunity on a moment-to-moment basis to check in and say, okay, self, like, how are you feeling? Like you said earlier, like if we're doing that, if we're like having these regular tapping in moments, then we don't have to go away. Like I don't have to try to fly away someplace and hope that when I come back, my life is different. Or I don't have to try to get in the tub and expect that the bubble bath will evaporate and eviscerate all the problems, right? Or I don't have to try to like sit in a therapist chair and expect that through talk therapy only that like, you know, things in my life will change. There's like actions that we have to take every day on a moment-to-moment basis that help create a different arc, right? And part of that is like our choice to embrace healing as an action, but also as an everyday place that we show up to the office of, to take care of ourselves, right? And that we have to do it ourselves, that like nobody can come in to rescue. It's not an external process. It is an internal process. And so for me, I think that's how I think about all of it, and that I get to like sort of pull the reins and decide how engaged I am or not. Like really it's a choice, right? Which is so amazing in a way that we have our own agency in the outcome of like what the well-being like continuum looks like for ourselves. Like we have the power to make different choices. I'm always obviously keenly aware of like structural and societal and cultural barriers, right, to our well-being. And those are real, not imagined, and they have real impact on how we experience well-being, how we experience safety, dignity, a sense of self-worth and belonging. All those things are impacted by structural and cultural and societal barriers, right, and access that we may or may not have. And at the same time, we also have the opportunity to say, like, here's the things that I can do, right? Here's the support that I can seek. And really, like, dialing into, like, community-based care models that like, do allow us to have peer-to-peer education and healing that have us, you know, potentially be able to access tools and resources that can help us to thrive. And so I do believe that there's pathways, even in the most challenging of settings. I've seen people who've made it through, who've like really suffered and had like really difficult paths, and who've made choices that have like led them to a better place in their lives. And so I know that, you know, when we do choose ourselves, it's possible. But yeah, there's some times where it's so challenging to choose yourself, right? And especially if you don't believe that you deserve it, right? And that's many of us like walk with that belief, like that I don't deserve to go into that place, or I don't deserve a massage or Reiki or meditation or healing, or how about nobody in this yoga class looks like me, or I want to try Pilates. I see a lot of Black girls at Pilates now. Mm-hmm. I'm loving it. Yes. I'm seeing a lot of Black girls get certified in Pilates. Mm-hmm. We need y'all, because these classes, let me just say, the music is so bad in these classes. Like, I need my peak movements to be to like Beyonce. Yes. Or, you know what I'm saying, or Kendrick or something like this. I don't want to do peak moves about Bob Dylan.
Right.
You know? And I love so Bob real. Dylan, but like, can y'all come on now? Like, yes. Be for real. So we need more. I'm just kidding. But we do really need more of us like in these spaces with these, you know, doing these, practicing these healing modalities and bringing us into space. I love seeing us go to acupuncture now. I'm seeing so many people of color. I went to my acupuncturist the other day and it was like 10 Black people had came in like a 20 minute period. And I was like, oh my gosh, what is happening? This is amazing. We are healing. We are prioritizing healing. And so this is a huge shift from what we have seen in the past 20 years, where our healing wasn't even in the forefront of our consciousness. And now it is like the first thing that we do is we wake up and we show up to the office of healing. And so I'm really proud that this is something that this younger generation has ushered in wellness as a priority. And I think it teaches us who are like, you know, Gen X and millennial generations who like push through and were like, that was modeled for us from the boomers, right? Was push, 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 and like, don't complain and, you know, make it happen and sacrifice and all of these values that basically do not serve you and lead to burnout. And then here came the younger millennials and then the Gen Zers who were like, no, mm-hmm. We do things differently. And we're not going to have y'all stress us out and have us burnt out. And right? And yep. It's so beautiful. So I'm really grateful for the tide that has turned, where younger people, like my son's age, my son's 20, like these younger people take care of themselves. In some instances, it wasn't modeled for them.
Right.
So I'm grateful for that. And so I didn't answer your question, but.
You did. And there was, what I love about the common thread of what you just shared is that it's all about curiosity.
Yeah.
One, curiosity of, okay, if I do this, how do I feel? If I do that, how do I feel?
Yeah.
And even what we were just talking about with the generations and younger people doing things differently, I think so much of that comes from asking, well, why? Well, yes. Why do I have to be in this office from this time to this time? Well, yep. Who created this? Well, who does this benefit? And when you start getting the answers to those questions, you realize it's all made up. Mm-hmm. And we don't necessarily have to do those things.
It doesn't have to be done that way. It could be done. There can be a different way. I love that there can be a different way.
Yep.
Right? Love that.
There are so many beauty and hair care products on the market that it's natural to feel a little skeptical of them. That is why these days I'm going for custom hair care that is designed to work with my hair as I repair it from damage. And when Pros says custom, they actually mean it. It's no gimmick. Your formula couldn't exist without you. Every bottle of Pros custom hair and skincare is made to order and personalized with a unique blend of naturally powerful and proven effective ingredients to meet your hair and skin needs. The in-depth consultation takes just a few minutes and analyzes over 80 factors for a complete view of your life and beauty goals. They get personal, covering everything from your concerns to diet, exercise, and stress levels to uncover what's impacting your hair and skin. They even asked me about my environment to understand the water quality, UV index, and current season, and how it may be impacting my hair. After you take the consultation, they recommend a full routine of truly personalized products, which were produced after you place your order. So nothing is pre-mixed or off the shelf. It's made just for you. And I got a mix of a custom shampoo, a custom conditioner, and a custom hair oil that my hair has been absolutely loving. Since I switched to Pros, my hair has been softer, shinier, stronger, retaining length, and I'm making great progress repairing damage. But don't just take my word for it. In a third-party, double-blind, dermatologist-supervised, controlled clinical study, also known as the gold standard of research studies, pros prove that personalization works better than off-the-shelf alternatives. Try it for yourself and get your healthiest hair in 30 days or get your money back. Pros is so confident that you'll love your results that they're offering my listeners an exclusive trial offer so you can see the difference custom hair care can make. 50% off of your first subscription order at pros.com/balancedless. That's PROSE.com/balancedless for your free consultation and 50% off your one-of-a-kind formulas. Again, that's pros.com/balancedless. Positive Black representation in media is so important to me. It's crucial that we hear the stories of people who look like us, especially stories rooted in joy, and that is why I started this podcast. You can also hear amazing voices on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are as distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. In the Black Stories, Black Truths collection, you'll hear stories of resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things. Every episode is a living account of what it means to be Black today, told from unique Black perspectives, and every episode is honestly just a beautiful glimpse into the various aspects of Black culture. Now, as a child of the 90s who grew up watching classic shows like The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, I love the episode talking about that show's legacy and how it still stands the test of time. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience. Hear a feed of episodes from across NPR's podcasts that center Black voices. Turn on NPR today and hear a range of voices as varied, nuanced, and Black as the country we reflect, because stories should never be about us without us. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get your podcasts. Another thing that I was also thinking of just now is I think sometimes a lot of us want an answer. We want to know, okay, I feel bad. I want to feel good. Tell me what to do, X, Y, Z, and then I will do that forever, and then I will feel good.
Right.
I have felt that way. I sometimes have people, you know, ask me questions that show that they're looking for that. I know people ask you questions.
Right.
And it's like someone outside of you, one, can't give you that answer.
There
and there's never just one answer.
There's not just one. That's right. I agree.
Which people hate to hear, but it's true.
Yeah, because then it means I have to do the work, right? Mm-hmm. And then you have to, and so self-discovery means that I have to report to self and say, like, let's take this journey to learn, like, what makes sense for me, what's going to work. Yeah, people don't want to do that work. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think it's a challenge also to, because a lot of this feels like it's, if you're not the type of person who wants to be alone, like self-discovery and doing anything that involves, you know, like showing up and being in reflective practice with yourself feels like lonely. It feels it feels like an interrogation for many people. And also, yeah, it feels so confronting because you actually have to sit with silence. Like you can't be on a device. You can't be like the things that can distract us normally. Like you don't have that when you're really on your journey. Those things are like real distractions, right? So you're not plugged into them in the same way. And as soon as you turn away from any of the addictive, you know, kind of like, what is it called? Just like distraction type of, you know, devices,
social,
right? The dopamine hits that we get from the contact on text and the immediacy of a social media post and likes and the comments and all of that, that as soon as you take that away, you're by yourself.
Yeah.
Right. And then it's like, I have to be with these thoughts, I have to be with these feelings, I have to be with this sense of disappointment or anxiety or whatever surfaces for people. And like you said before, like about like feeling, most people do not want to feel, right? They want to turn away from the sensations in the body. Like, what is there a pill I can take? Like, what can I do? Right.
Yep.
And that's why I love that song, Cranes in the Sky, by Solange.
Yeah.
Because she is like, look, there's like, you can try to do all these things to like make that feeling go away and nothing will make it go away. Right. You have to do the work.
Yeah.
Right.
Address it.
You have to go in. Yeah. The only way out is to go in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I personally have been feeling that a lot lately, having been in the wellness space for so long.
Mm.
I've recently found that a lot of the tools that I used to turn to just don't work for me the same.
Like what?
A lot of it was fitness. I mean, okay. I used to use fitness as a big outlet for everything.
Okay.
I still love moving my body, but
yeah.
that it's not the end all be all
right.
for me.
Yeah.
You know, doing the same old journal prompts aren't hitting like they were 10 years ago. The same guided meditations aren't hitting like they were 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And I'm having to try new things
yeah.
and do new things.
I think that's a good sign, though. That's like growth, no?
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
I think that's beautiful. I started to really love Pilates and found that I preferred going to that class if I'm going to be in a class setting over yoga. I can't go to yoga class. Mm-hmm. I just cannot.
Tell us more.
I can't. I think it's just something feels, it's like, I don't know, and no judgment, but I just feel like somebody who just got their certification like 3 days ago is telling me, giving a Dharma talk. And then I'm like, yeah, this is not for me, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel as though I really engage with like functional movement as the practice, right? So not like, okay, now I'm going to get up and go for 45 minutes and go on this machine. And then I'm not this. I am, the sun is out. It's the morning. I'm going to get dressed. I don't care what the weather is. I'm going to let the sun hit my skin, even if it's a teeny bit of sun. And, you know, I'm just going to get that vitamin D. I'm going to let the air touch my face. I'm going to feel the elements. I'm going to be outside. I'm going to see the world. I'm going to organize my brain in this space, you know, outside. Then I'm going to come back in, start my day, right? So I think it's always so great when a new version of ourselves shows up and says, like, let's shift. Right? Let's think about how we can approach it differently. And yeah, I think it's a good sign if you outgrow stuff, right?
I think so too. I think it can be natural to almost want to blame ourselves and be like, oh, this doesn't work anymore. What's wrong with me? And it doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you or the practice. It means let's try something else. Let's experiment.
Yeah. Yeah. You're growing.
Yeah.
Yeah. We reserve the right to do that, right? We reserve the right to grow and change and also adapt, right?
Yeah.
And also that means like you really wore that practice out, girl.
I did. I wore the gym out.
Okay. You're like, I got to move to a different place now, right?
Yes.
I love that.
Yes.
Amazing.
So it's been fun to explore. I actually had my first Reiki session over the weekend.
How
I've never had Reiki before. It was great. My mind has not been so clear.
Really?
Ever. I mean, chronic overthinker. And afterwards, I just was just existing. No thoughts, vibes.
Now, did you find that that was happening during session or post-session?
Post-session.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, it was just, I just felt completely clear in ways that I can't remember feeling as an adult. It was really cool.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I will. Yeah. I would love to. So something that I've been talking about on the podcast a lot, also social media, my people are probably sick of, they're like, Les, I'm so ready for your birthday to come so that you can shut up about it. But this year I'm turning 35.
Oh my
gosh.
I
have a lot of like feelings about it, some excited, some anxious.
What's the anxiousness about 35?
It just feels so aggressive, you know?
I'm 43. I'm about to be 44, actually. I'm 44 by the time this comes out. Oh my God. What?
It just feels like, okay, that is a really big number. I think turning 30, I didn't really freak out about that because there was this
thing.
I'm
surprised you didn't think of freak out about 30.
I didn't. And I don't know. Maybe it was like delayed. I don't know.
Wait, so does 35 feel like, oh my God, I'm almost 40?
It does. It feels like, oh my God, I'm almost 40. I also do not have children.
Okay.
I feel nowhere near having that. There's also a lot of stress just around that programming of like 35, you fall off the cliff.
Then I hear you. Okay.
Then it's not going to happen. And, you know, all of these things of have I made mistakes being where I'm at? Is this where I'm supposed to be? 35 feels too old to still be kind of dilly-dallying. Mm. It feels like the walls of possibility are closing in with that age.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm like, I hear 35 and I'm like, what a baby.
Really?
Yes. Oh my God, 35 to me feels so young.
Okay.
I think though that you're right to feel what you feel. And I want to validate your feelings because they are also rooted in, you know, cultural messaging, right? About aging.
Yes.
About viability, about value. What comes to mind for me around that age specifically is the programming around fertility, right? And so much of what we equate fertility to and fertility factor is with age, right? And when there's so many other factors involved in fertility, but age is one of them. And I remember being in Costa Rica, right, with this group of women, and they were in their 50s and they were pregnant alongside their daughters and who were basically giving birth to their grandchildren, and they were also pregnant. And I remember we were like cutting some sugar cane and hiking, and they were just like in such good shape as well. And I asked, like, you know, what is it? Is it like common that everybody has children at this age? Because it's like a lot of y'all in your 50s getting pregnant too. And they were like, yeah, it's like kind of normal for us. And I said, yeah, you know, because like in the States, right, in our 30s, we start getting this messaging. We get it our whole lives, but we start really getting pressure around having children, but certainly, you know, from our physicians around our fertility factor. And it is like your eggs are on expiration and you may not be able to have a child, or all kinds of fear, right? Just like it's trafficked in. And so she was like, you know, it's interesting. No one ever told us that we couldn't, right? And so if you think about the mantra, right, that surfaces around your eggs are going to die, your eggs are on expiration, you get all the eggs you're ever going to get, they're all dying, they start sloughing off even when you're in the womb. It's like, you hear that and you're like, okay. So you feel frenetic as you approach 35. And you also feel like the door is going to knock down on 35 and suddenly stuff's going to start breaking and falling off. Yes. Like you're like, oh my God, I just dropped, what just fell out my body, right? You really think that's going to start happening to you. It does not.
Summer is coming, and that means we need to be extra careful about hydration as it warms up outside. We all know how important staying hydrated is, especially if you're active or on the go, because dehydration is nothing to play with. When it happens, you feel sluggish, drained, you can experience cramping, and simple water might not be enough to keep you feeling balanced and performing at your best. In fact, too much water without replenishing your electrolytes can do more harm than good. Enter Element. Element has your electrolyte needs covered, offering a science-backed ratio of potassium, sodium, and magnesium. It contains enough electrolytes to move the needle towards each of those electrolyte goals. I love there's no sugar, no coloring, no artificial ingredients, or any other junk. So many drink mixes out there are full of sugar, which honestly defeats the point. But I'm telling you, after a sweaty workout or on a hot day, there's nothing more refreshing than sipping cold water with Element mixed in. It's salty, it's sweet, it tastes so good, and is so satisfying, and it quenches thirst better than anything I've tried. So why not give your hydration a boost? Try Element Electrolytes today and experience the difference for yourself. If you're just getting into Element, I recommend starting with a fruity flavor like citrus salt or raspberry, but they're truly all so good, you can't go wrong with any Element flavor. In fact, you can try all the flavors from Element to see which ones you like best at drinkelement.com/balancedless. That's drinkelement.com/balancedless, L-E-S, to get a free sample pack with any purchase. Again, that's drinkelement.com/balancedless for a free sample pack with any purchase. Hinge is a dating app designed to be deleted. Why? Because Hinge gives you a sense of someone's personality and lets you share your own. You get to know potential dates through their unique answers to prompts, plus you get a sense of someone's dating intentions and what they're looking for, so you can make the most informed dating decisions for you. Now, out of my partnered friends who met their significant others on dating apps, most of them met on Hinge. So I wanted to pick their brains about their experiences and what helped them find their people on the app. A common theme I noticed is they all had an incredibly open mind while they were dating, and that took the pressure off of any one date or one person they interacted with on the app to be the end-all be-all. They were also incredibly honest on their profiles. They answered prompts that were unique to them. They were really upfront about their intentions, so the people they matched with got a good feel for who they were. Now, I was recently talking to a friend who she shared that she communicated her preferences and boundaries with others on Hinge so clearly. She would use the app to have pre-date calls to get to know them before going on a first date. She told them her preferences for dates and really got in the driver's seat when it came to creating the dating experience she wanted to have, which I was really inspired by. And hearing positive dating stories is so important and something I really love to emphasize, because positive dating experiences are happening every day. And now it is your turn. On Hinge, there are no rules, timers, or games. If you're feeling inspired, give Hinge a try. Download Hinge today and find someone worth deleting the app for.
Fertility decline is something that doesn't necessarily correlate with age, but with also lifestyle, right? So I think it's important to think about biological age and chronological age not necessarily running concurrently. So what that does mean is that there are people in their 20s who, if you looked at their fertility factor across the board, you would see that they might have more trouble getting pregnant than someone in their 40s, like late 40s, right?
Interesting.
I've seen people in mid to late 40s and getting pregnant like by accident, right? Even people, you know, who are having healthy pregnancies and healthy deliveries and low risk, right? But being told that they're high risk because of their age. And so really it's lifestyle, right, that impacts, you know, fertility too, and egg quality. Just like sperm quality is going to be impacted by lifestyle choices, and sperm, you know, it goes through a shorter cycle, and obviously like sperm can be recreated, you know, consistently while someone is still alive and able to like produce it. And whereas we get all the eggs we're ever going to have, but the egg quality can be preserved. We can preserve egg quality. And so I think that, and improve it, right? Yeah. So if we were living a certain way, there are certain things that we can do to improve our fertility. So I think that, again, this idea that it's out of your control, there's nothing you can do, it's just happening to you, this biological clock is ticking. It's like, well, really, like biology, you know, is not waiting for anyone, not just people who are living through their reproductive years. I think that it is, though, important to think about the choices that we make, because these are, you know, I have a son who's 20. It's like you're going to be looking after somebody for a quarter century of their lives and then forever beyond that. But like your intense parenting is happening for 25 years of someone's life. It's not a game, right? So, and the investment for the body is really, it's an intense investment, right? And so you're like 10 months, you're pregnant. And then after that birth, right, then your body recovers and you're externally gestating someone who cannot walk, who's deeply dependent on you for another 10 months. So we do 10 months of intrauterine gestation and 10 months of extrauterine gestation. And the entire like goal, obviously, of having an offspring is for them to survive, right? And also, like your eggs, like these eggs have intelligence. Eggs choose a sperm. There's something called chemoattractants, which is so cool, which is like this vibrational energy that eggs send out. It's like a signal. It's like a bat signal, like, hey, you, right? Like you can approach the throne, right? And so eggs actually choose, even though we have a narrative that's really kind of steeped in kind of conquest and imperialism around like how sperm approach the egg. It's actually the opposite, that eggs invite in the sperm and choose what sperm can penetrate, right? And so because the uterus also is really choosy. And so when that egg is fertilized, in some cases, right, the body can detect early on if circumstances are not ideal or if, you know, maybe the genetic material isn't ideal and can reabsorb that tissue into the uterine lining, and that becomes a period, right? And if there was a fertilization, it becomes obviously a miscarriage, right? And so the body's really, really wise,
yeah,
and does its own work. What I love also is that when we are living really stressful lives, when we are living lives that are like, that we know aren't well-paced, your body understands what's happening, even though it can't, like, it can't understand the difference between being chased by a dead lion and being chased by a lion, right? It can't tell the difference, right? It just knows that there is perceived threat. And so imagine saying, like, I want to start a family, but you're living through chronic stress, right? And then you're like, I'm trying to figure out why it is that I can't maintain a pregnancy. Your body also understands that. And so if my cortisol levels are high, if epinephrine, norepinephrine, adrenaline are really high, then that means that, like, we're under attack somehow, right? If your body that has like this incredible intelligence, why would it undergo a taxing, prolonged, intense, and also costly process? Why would it undergo that process in the time that you were enduring so much stress? It would not. And so in some cases, like, it prevents a pregnancy because these are not ideal conditions for someone to carry a baby, right? Whatever they're living through, the body doesn't understand that it's like a toxic relationship or your work or, you know, pushing yourself too much, or it doesn't know. What it knows is that this is not the time, right? Like, you are not in a place where there is homeostasis and you're well mentally and emotionally, because what is happening is impacting you emotionally because stress hormones are circulating in the bloodstream. We need to protect you before we also invest in building another you, right? So I think that if we think about the intelligence of the body, you know, there are all kinds of amazing structures in place, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
First off, I appreciate the sentiments that you had regarding age and the women in Costa Rica, actually.
Yeah.
That's really amazing. Like, nobody ever told them they couldn't.
Yeah.
And just how powerful that is.
Mm-hmm.
And then also when you break it down that way, when it comes to stress, and if your body is like, you're not good, we can't do this.
We can't do this right now. That makes
it, I just had such an aha moment that really clicked.
Yeah. And you know why I think that's important is because people think it's them.
Yeah.
And then they also think, well, I can't. And if we remove some of the factors that impact their lives in a negative way.
Yeah.
Then it's easier to get pregnant. And for some people, assisted reproductive technology will be the path. And that's wonderful. It exists, right? We have the medicine. We have the technology. Wonderful. If we need to use it, great. But it should be effective.
Yes.
And so if we are going to use that, then we also still need to do the lifestyle practices. We still need to make the changes necessary for that process to also be effective. Otherwise, it's a waste of money, right? So I really think that endocrinologists and nutritionists and healers should all work together to, like, you know, help people develop better tools so that these, so that they can get on a path of pregnancy successfully, right? But it does start with, like, doing your own work. And then, you know, then you get to a place where if things don't work out, where you don't get pregnant on your own, then we have a fallback. But we don't start with, oh, it's not going to work.
Right.
Right. We start with, like, the belief in our capacity and then making some changes so that, like, it's a viable option for us. Right.
Yeah. 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 That makes so much sense. And speaking of what you just said about just tools and the healers and having that support system, I would also love to talk about the work you do as well as your new space.
Yeah.
That you just opened.
Yeah.
And what you offer there and how people can be a part of it.
Absolutely. So a lot of what I do now is educate people to become doulas. At Mama Glow, we have a training program called the Mama Glow Doula Homeschool Professional Training Program that's taught online. And people can do that if they are interested in becoming a professional doula, but even people who just want to explore more of their health and well-being journey and want to be able to serve them their own selves along the birthing continuum, or if they want to support community. We have many people who just do it because this is their calling and they want to do this work in the world to improve maternal health outcomes. This is important to have so many more of us do the work because we know that Black women are disproportionately impacted by poor maternal health outcomes and by maternal deaths in the United States, right? When we think about them and compare to white women in this country who have completely different experiences within our healthcare system. And so doulas sort of show up as a really amazing intervention, a really amazing advocate, and a person who can sort of provide wraparound support for these families that's more like emotionally based, physical, educational, advocacy based, right? So we train people to do this work. It's doulas, nurses, we have hospital systems that we work with, and different companies like CVS Health, where we train nurses. We work with Northwell Health, where we train the nursing staff there too. So we have a lot of people who are invested in having doula competency that are working within hospital settings, which is really important. And so although I started as a doula and like navigated a lot of my career as a doula, now I'm more in a role of like an educator. I'm a professor where I teach the training at Brown University as well. So for me, it's about just getting the information to everyone. So if you feel called, we'd love to see you there to involve yourself in this work. And how I think it ties into what we're doing at the Soft Space is really interesting, because when I was 2017, the space that we're in now, right? I was in there leading a meditation in the Soft Space, but it was like a meditation studio there.
Yeah.
Then it became a dance studio. Then it became a wine shop or something. Yeah. Like they were just like selling, I mean, not even selling wine, but like distributing like their shipping, you know, because in COVID, I guess, like people were drinking. So they expanded their business. So when we got it, it had been empty, but it had such good energy, right, from before. And I always had like a little space that we had opened in 2018, like this little brownstone. It was for like 20 students at a time. When COVID hit, the training went online. But before that, we had the little trainings happening live in Brooklyn in that space. Then within 9 months, we expanded to like New York, LA, Miami, and Paris with training hubs. And then with COVID, we went online and we haven't been able to be with people. And so the last training I had in that space was March 6th through 8th, 2020.
Wow.
Right? And I'm like, this is so aligned with like where we're at with this business. And so it is really like this beautiful, cozy, gorgeous, like place to kind of be. But there's programming, there's workshops, there's events, there are curated activities that we host. And then also our programming that is largely online, we can facilitate community in person there. So for instance, we'll have like, you know, a retreat for our doula community there. We'll have things like that. But then people come in and have visions for things that they want to do. And so we host a lot of private things. And so anything from retreats to like symposiums, like panels, like all kinds of things, workshops. But really, I'm hoping that it can be a really beautiful space for practitioners who don't have access to incredible space like this and the size, but also just the elevation that is necessary for many practitioners to be moving their businesses ahead. You need like a really good space to do that work in. And so we've invested in it. I want to welcome everyone home. Come see us. And we gentrified Williamsburg, okay? It's in an area that, you know, pushed a lot of people of color out. And we're there and we're right next to the subway. And so come see us, right? And come be loved up by your sisters and come support Black female-led enterprise, because that's important too, right? Support those of us who are here doing this work, listening to this. Also, you're supporting Black female-led enterprise that's grounded in wellness and taking care of ourselves. Yeah.
Ugh, I love it. I haven't visited in person yet, but the photos I've seen are gorgeous.
You have
I will
to come.
Be there soon.
Can't wait.
I'm so excited. We're going to link all the information for the soft space in the show notes so that our
New
York BBGs can come check it out.
We can't wait for that.
Yay. Latham, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I loved this conversation.
Same here.
And loved having you.
And you too.
Absolutely. We will make sure all of your information is linked in the show notes to make it easy for everyone to find you and support your work.
Appreciate you.
Yes, appreciate you.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Yes. And thank you all so much for tuning in this week to Balanced Black Girl. Like I said, we will make sure we have all of Latham's information linked in the show notes so that you can check her out and so that you can come visit the soft space when you're in New York. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure you leave us a rating and a review, and I will see you next week.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.